Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the show Farm Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you who are listening live as well as on the World Wide Web at WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, whose favorite thing to do is to share biblical gold nuggets, particularly on the end times. And hope you're taking notes, but hey, you can always re-listen to this show later on the week or later in the week at shofarministries.net. So, as we do every week, let's ask God for his blessing on this program and to all the listeners who have set aside their current cares of this life to receive more of Jesus through his word. Father, we want to open up and just a reminder that this is Memorial Day coming up, and on this Memorial Day, let us remember those who have fallen in the defense of our country, those from every race, creed, and color, and the families they left behind. They paid the ultimate price to defend the freedom that you and I take so often for granted. If you are listening today, Father, we pray for our listeners. If there are any out there that have not asked Jesus to come into their heart and to know you personally, that they do that today, right now, that they would turn and repent for their sins and ask you into their heart through the work of your Son that he did on the cross. And we praise you and thank you for this lovely day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. And Shabbat Shalom to you. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just an FYI, I will be speaking at the Chardon Middlefield Women's Aglow on Saturday, June 19th at 9:30 a.m. Call me for more info.
And that's at 440-834-9006. Or if you would like Sheila to come out to your church or group.
Yes, and I'd also like to do a shout-out and thank Carolyn, who called last week at the end of the hour to pledge $100 a month to help keep this program on the air. And we're so grateful. And Carolyn, thank you. And you look for a thank you gift in the mail for our gratitude. And, you know, this lady's on Social Security, and I know that that was a faith act for sure.
I admire that kind of faith. And as we said last time, we are looking for 10 meat eaters of God's Word to help sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. And now we need only 9. So come on, Christians, help us out. Perhaps it's time to change who you donate to, if only for a season. One thing we know for sure, you are being fed well. And not to forget that all the programs can still be re-listened to on shofarministries.net for free. Now, Sheila, what's in the news that fits into the prophetic scenario that's predicted in God's Word?
Well, you know, every day this gets more exciting because there's continuing signs that we are living in those last days. Lots of rumors of wars even. But the biggest news to me is still that upcoming Middle East war that we talked about on the last two programs, because there is yet again more confirmation that war is on the horizon. And let me just preface this by saying, as I said last week, the speed with which end-time events are breaking is really staggering. And you, out there, ladies and gentlemen, were born for such a time as this. So, take notice. You are an intricate part of God's plan for this generation. And I, for one, feel honored to be able to serve the body of Christ with a more detailed look at God's final plan for these final days. But let me start out by just saying that there's ballistic missiles and rockets right now, as I speak, pointed directly at Israeli sites from Hezbollah, the terrorist group in Lebanon, funded by Iran, and from Damascus in Syria. Think about the Bible where it says, Isaiah 17:1, it's never been fulfilled. Damascus will become a ruinous heap. And I'll tell you what, it's looking real close to that. But these enemies of Israel have been working day and night for 5 months to upgrade its missiles to improve their accuracy. And even North Korea, their military engineers and technicians, I understand, are employed on these Hezbollah production lines operating under direct Iranian command. Its primary mission is to make sure that Iran, Damascus and Syria, Lebanon, which is directly north of Israel, and Gaza, which is over next to the Mediterranean, do not send missiles flying toward the same Israeli targets at the same time. They're going to be shooting them at the same time, but each of the four has been assigned one of four major Israeli sectors and given specialist training in its features. I'm telling you, John, this is big planning. Big planning. They have no intentions of losing, but surprise. But Hezbollah, again, now has the confidence that they're even sneering at Israel's five-day defense plan that they had last week, and it was kind of a mock run-through. And they sneered, and they said this, "Oh, Israel just wants to reassure its people and make them feel strong and properly prepared to stand up to all possible war situations." But this assurance is false. This is Hezbollah talking. "So carry on with your drills," he said. "But when the rockets start falling on the occupied territories, we'll soon see how much good they are." Now, this is what they're saying. Oh, my gosh, I'm telling you, it's just amazing. But he goes on and says, "We will eliminate the Israeli Air Force's edge by releasing a simultaneous deluge of missiles and rockets from hundreds of stationary and mobile launching." The thinking in Iran and Damascus, John, is that the Israeli Air Force will find it hard to tackle three or four fronts at the same time.
Well, you know, that happened before, and they didn't find it hard at all because the Lord, we believe God helped them. They believe God helped them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, I guess, you know, these youngins, they come up, they don't even know that there was a 67 war where
where was it with Israel, with Egypt and Syria, and there was three or four there. Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay. And they all attacked at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But what's interesting is that Iran and Damascus are therefore building protective walls and air shields around their missile bases and launching sites, for which purpose Assad, which is Syria, asked the Russian president to speed up the delivery of the advanced Russian anti-aircraft missiles. And you know what Russia said? Okay.
They said they... Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So anyway... What is Israel doing? As I just mentioned, they just finished a five-day defense missile exercise to teach the Israelis what to do if attacked. They've got all new gas masks and things. And the commander, Brigadier Gadi Eisenkot, said, "No party concerned has an interest in another showdown, but the Israeli Defense Force could be ready to fight within hours." And he added that if confronted, Israel could take on both the Syrian and Lebanese front, and Gaza.
Yeah, but my question and the question of a lot of people is, what about more than two fronts at one time, like about four?
Right, which is what they're really kind of planning. But we actually have Psalm 83, and we've been teaching on it for the last 2 weeks. And if this happens, if this is that war, and I believe it, I think it can be, I know that God's going to step in. Israel will take out its immediate enemy neighbors. It's going to be an absolute miracle. Increase its borders now to the land promised Abraham in Genesis 15:18, which they haven't had yet,
mm-hmm.
even in Solomon's day. They're going to gain a lot of respect. And then more of the Jews, still spread across the world right now, will, you can bet, continue to make Aliyah, just like God said, fulfilling that prophecy. Now, they've got a lot of people going into Israel, and they have mm-hmm. for a lot of years, but there's still a lot out there. And when this happens and those borders are enlarged, it's going to happen. And we are still here, I believe, to see that.
Yeah, but maybe not for long.
Well, that's very true, too. But I think we'll definitely see Psalm 83. And again, next week we're not going to be here because I have a wedding to perform. But I'm going to replay the show that teaches about in that day. And that's how I know that Psalm 83 will happen while we're still here, because in that day is not mentioned anywhere.
Three simple words that if you don't know the Hebrew idiom in that day, you can be very confused by prophecy.
Absolutely.
But this is one of the keys that really makes it wide open. Be sure you listen to that, folks, next week.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And meanwhile, for the first time now, Obama administration is boosting U.S. military strength in the Mediterranean and the Persian Gulf regions as well as trying to make amends big time with Israel after the White House snubbing a few weeks ago. We talked about that. Obama has even reinvited Netanyahu to Washington next week. And most suspect will be given the royal treatment. Okay, he was really pressured by a lot of people.
Why, what happened?
Well, political and Jewish circles see the change as an attempt to win back Jewish voter support for the Democrats and the United States, of course. Our president knows the time has come to count his assets. In the face of the dramatic big power realignment in the Middle East and Iran's drive for a nuclear bomb. I mean, I'm hoping that he's coming to his senses.
So, yeah, maybe after 14 months in the White House, Mr. Barack Obama has suddenly discovered that he has no other strategic ally in the region to rely on except for Israel.
He really doesn't. And his soft tactics with the enemy he sees has not worked.
Yes.
But Israel's prime minister, whom I love, by the way, Netanyahu, is now justified in crowing over his critics at home. And there was some critics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Netanyahu's decision not to back down and instead to stand up to Obama's cold shoulder, his insults and pressure, has been vindicated, whereas the ex-prime minister, and who is now the defense minister, Ehud Barak, and the centrist party leader, Tzipi Livni, have been confounded in their dire warnings that refusal to surrender. This is what they told Netanyahu, got to surrender. But they warned him if he didn't, in a big way, to these Palestinians, would gravely jeopardize the U.S.-Israeli relations. And for a while it did. But, boy, is Netanyahu being vindicated now.
And, you know, Bibi Netanyahu, he didn't cave in, did he?
He didn't.
Nope.
He did, and which is why he left the way he did, abruptly, and nobody gave him the royal treatment or photo ops or anything like that.
Wow.
But a senior source in Washington said that the Israeli prime minister, Netanyahu, has chalked up an impressive achievement. The arm-twisting tactics have been set aside for now. And Bibi, from President Obama, and Bibi can expect warmth and friendship from the administration in the foreseeable future. So that's going to be interesting to see next week. I think it's Tuesday.
Sheila, what brought this all about?
Well, it seems that this turnaround from Obama came right after he met with a group of 15 rabbis from across the United States on May 13th, along with, of course, other White House officials and Rahm Emanuel, being the most outspoken when he said the Obama administration, we kind of screwed up the messaging.
Is that how he put it?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
About the support for Israel over the last 14 months. So they basically apologized, and he promised that the White House would work to undo this damage.
Wow.
Now, whether or not the Netanyahu government will be satisfied with this crudely worded White House apology addressed just to American Jewish rabbis, remember, rather than all of Jerusalem, it wasn't in the paper, remains to be seen. But much will depend on the actions that Obama takes to undo the damage to which it has now owned up to. So that's kind of cool. How about that?
Wow. So what does Washington really know? There's always more that than meets the eye.
Yeah, we know that. We're not getting the whole story.
Well, that was some very, very interesting news. And Sheila, what has the Lord laid on your heart for our teaching today?
Well, we've been discussing, of course, the enemies of Israel for the last 2 weeks. So we're going to take an early break so that we won't have to break again. And when we come back, we're going to look at the genealogy of today's Palestinians.
Oh, that does sound good.
Who are they derived from? Where do they come from? And people that are listening, I think it might be a wise thing to pull out your Bible to one of your ancient maps. Most Bibles have them in the back.
Yep.
And when we come back, we'll get into it.
It's the book of maps right after the book of Revelation. You'll find it there. The lines will be open when we come back if you have a question, particularly now on end time eschatology. And one question we'd like you to keep it at. The numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Now, since we cover such a big area on radio, we would both like to visit you at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. Tell your pastor and ask him to give us a call at 440-834-9006. And I'd like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3. All your gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, if you're learning something, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton 44021, or you can give through the ShofarMinistries.net website and use PayPal. And you can purchase the teaching DVDs, especially on the spring feasts, for a donation of only $15.
Okay, so I just want to say one more time, we do need your help out there. 9 more people pledging $100 a month. We could handle the rest and renew our contract. So call in the pledge, either on the air or just off the air. Give Nick your information. Perhaps you would like to sponsor the show by advertising your company. We'd be happy to do that. Or just refer someone who could. And again, you can reach me later for details by calling 440-834-9006.
And remember those phone numbers to call us for your end time question, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a great song called Tell Me Why You Have Forsaken Me by Greg DiPaolo.
Believer.
We're debuting his song.
Yes. Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have 7, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of 5 and grandmother of 3, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531. Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kastelek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511. You want to get out of debt? Really? Listen, if you're serious about getting out of debt, you need two things.
the right advice, and the desire to achieve this goal. That's it. Doing nothing will guarantee failure. Getting the wrong advice can destroy your credit and could lead to bankruptcy or worse. So here's the right advice. Call Trinity Debt Management toll-free at 1-800-936-5496. Trinity is a nonprofit organization with a proven plan to help you become debt-free. Your Trinity counselor will help you consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Reduce your interest by as much as 60%. Eliminate late fees, stop collections calls, and help you become debt-free in months instead of years. Debt-free the right way without destroying your good name or making dangerous settlements. Are you ready to get out of debt? Are you ready to get your life back? Good. Call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. 1-800-936-5496. WHKW AM 1220 The Word is pleased to feature the Bible Answer Man as our Ministry of the Month. Here's a portion of the conversation Glenn Mertz had with Hank Hanegraaff.
Are you finding that people are having more and more questions and just out there just searching?
I tell you, if there was ever a need for the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it is now, because people are continuously asking questions. And I think part of the reason for that, Glenn, is that there are so many skeptics today who have received an enormous sense of popular acceptance. And as a result of that, they are raising doubts in the minds of Christians with respect to origins, with respect to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and with respect to the veracity of the Scriptures.
The Bible Answer Man is our Ministry of the Month for May. Be sure to listen to the Bible Answer Man weeknights at 6 p.m. on AM 1220 The Word.
It was I who made a call.
Well, and that was Greg DiPaolo, and I've got to ask him when I talked to him if that was him playing that nice guitar solo on that lovely song called Tell Me Why You Have Forsaken Me. And now you were saying he's a
new believer.
New believer.
And it's a pretty song, and I hope that people out there will like it. And if you want a copy, let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
All right. Well, we're back, and we're going to talk about who are some of the enemies of Israel, and when did they come from? Excuse me, when? Where did they
come
from?
Where did they come from?
Yeah. All right. Well, let me say that, I hope you have your Bible out with your maps in the back so that, that rhymed, maps in the back. No. I'm just killing time for John to get back down because our monitor isn't working for some reason. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and start. Okay, now we have Abraham. Now, his son of promise was Isaac, and he had a wife named Rebekah, and they finally conceived twins, Esau and Jacob. Now, you can read about that in Genesis 25, 22 through 34. Now, if you remember correctly, and if you're a new believer, then you might want to read on that. But Esau really despised his birthright. He was the firstborn coming out, and he sold it to Jacob. Esau's descendants settled southeast of Israel in Edom. And again, if you're looking at a map, you can see it's the bottom of Israel over to the right. So, because they settled in this area of Edom, they were called the Edomites.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens a lot, John. Like, we live in America, so we're called Americans.
Yes.
So the descendants of Esau settled in Edom, and they were called Edomites. Okay, so that's what happened.
People are usually called by the place they live.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's important when you're trying to research Bible genealogies and things that you take that into account, of course.
Yes.
So anyway, Esau's descendants never liked Jacob's line. Okay, and quickly they became Israel's enemy. And in Numbers 20, it actually records how the Israelites, remember, after leaving Egypt, were refused passage
through that area, mm-hmm.
thus having to go all the way around, which was a great distance.
And a great annoyance, too.
Esau and his concubine had a son named Amalek. Now, he had other descendants, of course, but this particular line, whose son was named Amalek, was called the Amalekites. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, as you know, especially in Exodus 17, we read where Moses and the Israelites fought the Amalekites at Rephidim. God said that they would eventually be blotted out. But until that time, when their iniquity was full, and we've taught on that before, the Israelites would have war with them from generation to generation.
Generation, that's right. Now, who are these Amalekites today?
Okay, well, let's continue.
Okay.
Do you recall what God told Samuel? Now, do you remember who Samuel was?
Yeah, he was the last of the judges in the judges era,
yes.
As well. He was a prophet.
Yes, he was.
Yes, and he was also, I believe, a Levite. Yes, a Levite.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he told King Saul of Israel.
That's Israel's first king.
That's right. To kill all the Amalekites, okay, because God knew they had diseased blood. He said, kill them all. I mean, you have to. And make sure that you kill their king named Agag.
Mm-hmm. Or Agag, I guess. Yeah. That's in 1 Samuel 15.
Okay, yes.
And what did Saul do?
Well, unfortunately, he disobeyed and did not kill the king or his family. And, of course, later we see David having conflict with them. If he would have done his job, then mm-hmm. David wouldn't have had conflict with them. And you can read that in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel.
Right.
But eventually, Samuel did kill Agag, their king, but he still left others, also who then became known as the Agagites, but they were descendants of the Amalekites, who would carry on the line and continue to terrorize God's people, as we shall see.
Are we getting close to my question? Who are these people today?
Yes, we're getting close to that.
Okay.
But, you know, I want to show the line.
Okay.
Because basically, if you go back, then you'll see that they're all from Esau.
Oh, okay.
You know, so anyway. At the end of the Babylonian captivity, now we're jumping ahead a little bit, but during the Persian Empire, many Jews actually chose to remain there because the new King Cyrus, he was a good man, and actually he was very kind to the Jews.
I think he was half-Jewish, too.
Yeah, he did have ancestors, definitely.
Yeah.
But later, and you can read this again in the book of Esther, under his grandson, under Cyrus's grandson, King Ahasuerus, there arose a wicked leader in the king's court named Haman.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we know the story. He tried to have all the Jews beheaded, not only in that area, but all through the kingdom, all of them. And he almost succeeded, but praise God, he lost his head instead.
And the Jews still celebrate Haman's defeat today with the Feast of Purim.
Yes. Yep. So, where was Haman from, John?
He was an Agagite?
Yes, according to Esther 3, it actually says that.
Oh, it does? That's right.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
So, again, a descendant from Esau. So, in the 5th century before Christ, these Agagites were still living in the area of Edom.
Okay.
Okay? All right, now let's set aside that, and let's look at the descendants of Ishmael.
Okay.
Okay? The descendants of Ishmael actually settled in Arabia, and Ishmael had 12 sons, had a bunch of kids, people came from those 12 sons, tribes. But the descendants from the son named Naboth decided to move northward to just west of Edom. So if you're looking at a map, go over to the left, to the area that was called in ancient times Nabatea. So naturally, they became the Nabateans.
Hmm.
Now these Nabateans, who attacked the Agagites and the Edomites, because they wanted the land, they actually moved reluctantly westward into the Negev and south of Judah. Now, since the Greek name for these Edomites is Idumea, they soon became known as the Idumeans, and they actually made Hebron their capital.
Huh.
Quite a while, actually. So, okay, now we've got the descendants of Ishmael, the Nabateans, and the Edomites is Idumeans, and
so the Edomites are actually, you're talking about the Agagites, which are descendants of Amalek.
Right.
Okay. So we're right. So through all these generations, they're still having the enemy Amalek, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it seems, doesn't God seem to call a people by their progenitor, by their first person, like the Amalekites, they were first that. And no matter what they grew into being over the centuries and eons, he still calls them by their original.
Yes, he does.
Original name or term.
Yes, he does. Yes. And that's why this kind of information is kind of important. And again, I don't expect everyone to remember all this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I couldn't if I didn't have my notes.
Now, you did some research for this, I can tell.
Did.
Now,
I did.
You have to? You didn't find this in the Bible. You found this in reference
right,
books and things
exactly.
like that. Yeah.
Yeah, history books and stuff. But so Hebron. Okay, which, of course, kind of in the middle of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's still called Hebron today, which is amazing. Hebron remained under Edomite control until Judas Maccabees retook the city. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yep.
Got rid of Antiochus Epiphanes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then by 126 B.C. was reconquered by the Jewish army.
Okay, so this is the...
This is pivotal.
Okay.
Okay. So the Jews took control of this area again. Okay, it was a pivotal event that took place in which...
Oh, so the Maccabean Revolt didn't just end in the result of getting Jerusalem and the temple back, but they got this whole area back.
Eventually.
Okay.
A few years later.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe even took 20 years, but by 126, they had reconquered the whole area of the land.
Wow.
Now, and again, the reason this is pivotal is because now the Idumeans, okay, which, again, are Edomites...
Mm-hmm.
Who were forced? They were forced to be either proselytized into Judaism, or leave,
or die.
Or die.
Yeah.
Okay. So, guess what? This resulted in many of these Idumeans pretending to become Jews, yet really were not.
Were not.
And we have read so many times Revelation 2:9, where it says, "I know that there are Jews who say they are Jews, but they are not." So God was aware of that.
Oh, okay.
And so let's talk a little more about that area there, okay?
Yes. What famous Idumean does the New Testament record?
Right. All the Herods were Idumeans.
Yep.
Yep. And, of course, we know that they killed Jewish babies. Another killed John the Baptist. Still another, James, the brother of John, I read in Acts 12:2.
Mm-hmm.
They were promoted by the Romans, one as the king of Israel in 37 B.C.,
mm-hmm.
okay, before Christ, thinking that the Jews, because they were proselytized, would accept them better, because after all, they claimed to be Jewish, even though they were kind of not.
Hmm.
And they did, actually.
Yes.
You know? But Herod really wasn't Jewish. He was just a descendant of a proselytization.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And maybe not even a real proselyte. That's hard to say. A real convert. And also wasn't the...
Probably not a real convert.
Probably not a real convert.
No, I'd say not.
Perhaps the high priest at the time of Jesus, that was, you know, his course in Jesus' time, he was, I think, an Idumean. And I remember reading somewhere that he actually was very upset when it came to Yom Kippur. He couldn't, he broke down and could not do the sacrifice in the temple because he knew that he wasn't qualified to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I've read that somewhere. I'd like to look it up and find out why. But
he
knew he was an Edomite, and he wasn't qualified to do that.
Right.
And how did they get to lead Israel like that? How did they turn into Israel's leader? Did they just...
Because the Romans definitely appointed them.
Okay, the Romans liked them.
Control.
The
Romans liked them. Well, and for obvious reasons. They thought, oh, well, the Jewish people will listen to him because he's really, you know, supposedly Jewish, but, you know, he wasn't.
Oh,
so, and in fact, that was in AD 70, now afterwards, the Romans actually renamed this whole area of Israel Palestine.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Although they thought about keeping it called what the maps had called in Idumea, but the connection to the Jewish people was offensive to them. So the Idumeans had that Jewish connection because they were proselytized. How do you say that again?
Proselytized.
Okay.
They were converted. I like to say converted.
Converted.
It's easy.
Let's do that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But again, by this time, the Romans really hated the Jews. Okay. And so they didn't want to keep it that name. They changed it to Palestine.
Hmm.
So the Jews left in the diaspora. Most Idumeans stayed and took on the name of the Palestinians.
Oh, so there, now I get my answer.
We're not done yet, but yes.
I'm getting my answer. Okay.
And again, remember, you take on the name of where you reside.
Right.
Okay. So, but when you boil it down, well, let's keep going, then we'll talk about that. All purebred descendants, are the descendants of Esau all purebred? No. We know they are intermixed, but they have a little bit of the blood in them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And remember, Esau married Ishmael's daughter. So there we have that union there.
Okay.
Okay. It's most probable that the groups that terrorize Israel today have some blood of Esau.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obadiah is a judgment book against the Edomites as well. And I want to point out here that in Psalm 83, you know, we've talked about it the last 2 weeks. It's actually more of a plea from Asaph. Okay,
uh-huh.
He's saying, look what they're doing. Please take care of them like you took care of the other enemies way back in the First Testament in the beginning. And it doesn't really come right out and say, okay, Asaph, yes, I will.
No, it doesn't.
It's more of a pleading, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to ask yourself, well, does God answer his prayer?
Yeah.
Okay, now, I believe Asaph was a prophet, so.
I do, too.
And that's why you have to go with the whole Bible.
I looked Asaph up in the Bible dictionary, and it said that he was a prophet.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I thought so.
He was more than just a psalm writer. He was a prophet, too.
Yeah. Okay.
Considered a prophet in his time.
Okay.
Yes.
So he was still pleading, though, at the time, and that's how you know whether he answered his prayers, by looking at the other scriptures. And Obadiah is like the whole, it's a small book, but the whole thing is talking about the ultimate destruction of the Edomites.
Idumeans.
Or the Idumeans.
Or the Idumeans, or the Agagites.
Yep.
Or Amalek.
Yeah.
It even goes back to there.
Yeah.
That's so wild.
Well, it's amazing, too. And, you know, it's not like we're millions of years old here. You know, we're only 6,000 years old.
Yeah, that's a short time in the history of the world. Yes,
yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So this has come on down here. But the enemies will not have the last laugh, will they, John?
No, but they sure are threatening. And I remember one of the Psalms says that the enemies threaten, and why does God multiply, let the enemies multiply like this? It is for their destruction.
I know.
And I feel sorry for them, and you do need to pray for our enemies, Jesus said.
Oh, I'd love to.
And a lot of them are deceived by the enemy.
You know. A lot of Muslims are coming to the Lord, by
yes,
the way.
Are.
We have to always remember that.
It was so rare, but you're hearing about it all the time now.
I know, I know. Praise God and hallelujah. Yeah. When's the last time that you yourself have actually witnessed to a Muslim out there listening?
Yeah.
It's not easy, is it?
You know, they're very easy to talk to, though.
I found that out.
Yeah, they're very easy to talk to, and they love a good discussion on the Bible.
They do. When I was in Jordan, it was very easy to say, well, I'm a Christian, and what do you think of Jesus Christ?
Right.
I mean, we did have some good conversations. Well, as you know, I even stayed for a week with the Palestinian family.
And, you know, we know how people, we've seen in history how a group of people can be led by an evil leader to do anything. We saw that happen in Germany, where an evil leader just took them down the path to destruction.
Yeah.
And were all the Germans wicked? No. But, you know, look at how many that just because they didn't know.
I know. And I know that there are Muslims out there that want to lead just a normal life and raise their family and stuff like that. But I tell you, when the terrorists, the actual, terrorists.
Yes.
I'm looking for another word, but I can't find it. They come into a little area where there's Muslims, and they actually tell them either you'll do it this way or you'll die.
Yeah, I think they get threatened.
Go along with the program.
Yeah, they're coerced. And
so, too bad. But anyway, here's the question for deep thought. Could there still be those who call themselves Jews but are really descendants of proselytes from the Idumeans, Esau, or the Edomites? I have questioned how some today can say they are Jewish, but show no loyalty to the people or to the land. What do you think?
Interesting.
I mean, I could only do so much research because it's really mind-boggling. We're talking about thousands and thousands of pages. But, you know, we have people, generations of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and that. And you really wonder, you just really wonder what their ancestry is. You know?
It could be.
I don't know too much more about that, but.
Definitely, we're all related to Noah, and by that, Adam,
well, that's
too.
That's true.
And, the potential of the sin is in all of us. And the evil nature, which we try to resist, is a lot of times overtakes us. But that is why Jesus defeated the enemy, our enemy, Satan, that wants to, like these evil leaders, that wants to take us to the path of destruction. But Jesus defeated him on the cross.
That's right. We have that power if we want it.
And that message is still today, that Jesus was crucified on our behalf. He was and he was raised from the grave, and he's in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And if you trust in him, and I hope if there's any of you listeners out there that haven't done this, trust in him, believe that he can take away your sins, and then begin to trust him and repent, turn away from your sins, and he will do it.
That's right. And you know what? I have to say this. There are a lot of Christians that go by the name of Christian that even listen to this show that aren't saved. Okay, in the Bible, John 3 is very clear. You must be born again.
Of the Spirit.
That's right.
Right.
So if you're Catholic or Protestant, if you are a Christian denomination, you still have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
You
can't just assume because you belong to a particular church, which, as you know, I was raised Catholic, and I love Catholics because I think they make the best born-again Christians. But
I think you're perfect.
I wouldn't have known had not someone told me.
Yes.
You know, I was raised with just reading my catechism. Nobody told me to read the Bible. And, in fact, they said I didn't have to. You know, so I was always taught that if I was a Catholic, I would go to heaven. And I just want to tell you, if you're listening and you're a Catholic, you still have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only do you need to invite him into your heart, but you need to be in the Word of God. And that's how you build that relationship.
That's right.
You just really do. So, again, if you're out there listening today even, and you have never given your life over to Jesus personally, do it right now. Because we are living in the days that, I'll tell you what, the rapture / resurrection could happen at any moment.
Yes.
Okay? And you need to be on the right page.
That's right. You need to be at one with God. You need to break down that wall, and the way that wall breaks down between you and God. Because when we're sinners or when we don't know Jesus, there is a wall that's sort of like between us and God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that gets broke down when we become born again.
Yes.
And we have a relationship with the Father through Jesus.
That's right.
And it's dramatic. Sometimes there's dramatic, this happens in a dramatic fashion. Sometimes it just happens slowly. But the main thing is you repent, you turn, trust Jesus. He can do it.
Right.
His sacrifice on the cross is enough for any, will cover the sin, any sin. I don't care how bad you are, what you've done in the past, how many times you've given up on God. If you have been saved, if you are a Christian and you're away from the Lord, God doesn't care. He wants you to return.
That's right.
And all you have to do is return. You don't have to grovel. He just wants you to return and do what He's called you to do.
Because someday, every single person is going to stand in front of the judge.
Yes.
Okay? So don't wait. Don't wait one more minute.
Yes.
You know, turn off the show right now, get on your knees, and just ask the Lord to come in your heart. And He will. And then how do you build your faith?
By the Word of God.
Is there any other way to build your faith, John?
Not that I know of.
No.
No. and it's not just reading, it's reading and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That's part
study.
Of the reason. And study, and that's why Shofar Ministries is here. We hope that the study we do will help you to become a better studier yourself.
That's right.
And to understand the Lord better yourself. And once you understand a person, God or another person, the more you understand about that person, the better the relationship is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, going through these hard times, and Christians have them too,
yes.
How do we ever get through anything without the Lord? How do we do? I can't even imagine. You know, He's there for us. He holds our hand. He never promises that we won't go through things. He just promises that He'll be with us.
That's right.
That's right.
Till the end of the age, He said.
Amen.
Then He's coming to get us.
Yeah.
So what about that? What about the last week's program? Can we remind people that we're going to play, or I'm sorry, next week's program?
Okay,
what did I say?
Last
week's
saying?
Program. Next week's program. We just want to remind you that we're going to replay the program on In That Day, which is an idiom used in the first century by first century Jews and Christians.
Oh yeah, they knew exactly. God.
Yes. And it's a key, knowing that phrase, and it's a key to understanding prophecy in the Old Testament from the old-time prophets.
That's right. And I just want to remind people that if you go to my webpage, shofarministries.net, you can click on Radio Podcasts, and it will take you to all of our shows, which are archived on my web. There is a wealth of information. We've been on 1 year now, and there's just a wealth of information, things like how Israel has benefited America, okay? We are really benefited by America, and I just hope that maybe that's one of the reasons that Obama decided to be nice to Israel. Maybe they showed him all the things that they've done for us, you know?
Well, they have, haven't they? We've had a program on that, too, that covered all the things Israel has done.
That's right, we did.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. It's on there.
Yep.
Just some of the other items is the idiom, the last trumpet. What does that mean? It's not the seventh trump of Revelation.
No, there's a lot of trumpets we found out, didn't
that's
we?
That's right.
Yes, and each one has a special meaning.
That's right.
Yeah.
We talk about post-rapture events, rapture events. All the rapture scriptures are on my webpage also. Who the elect are doesn't necessarily just mean us, okay? And again, if you could please think about pledging $100 per month to help keep this show on the air. We just think that we're doing a good service to the Christians to help them to grow. And it would be a shame if we weren't able to stay on, you know?
Yes.
So call us. And why don't you give them those numbers, John? They can call right now after the show and pledge.
Yeah, sure. You can call us right now at 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Okay.
Okay.
And if...
time to go.
Yes, I think so. If you have a question and you don't want to call, just, hey, try this. Just email her, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. And I'm sorry, that's not your email address, is it? Yeah, yes, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net.
Tell them what you emailed.
Yeah, there you go. And don't forget, a great study for beginners on DVD, Hebraic Roots, Parts 1 and 2 and 3, and that's available on the webpage at ShofarMinistries.net. Or just call Sheila at 440-834-9006. And, of course, we are looking for that $100 donor, but any and all donations really
are extremely important
for the little ones and the big ones, too, and they're vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. So please consider being a partner in this endeavor. You can use PayPal or just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. And if you donate, it automatically puts you on the monthly newsletter. So it's full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days here and in Israel. And check out the webpage where all the newsletters and previous radio shows are archived. Okay.
Thanks to Lou at sunfishdesign.com.
Amen. Well, we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalam.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
We won't be here next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.